a much better performance. A team that showed that they cared. A team that showed improvements. But the result is still the same. The Edmonton Elks fall in their home opener to the Saskatchewan Roughriders 26-16. They were 0-2 on the year. Welcome to the Green and Gold postgame show. Matthew Wanek, Jeff Walker with you here this evening as we'll break down everything that we just saw down at Commonwealth Stadium. As I said, a better performance from this Edmonton Elks team. One thing Jeff and I said in the kickoff show was what you want from this team is to keep it close. And what we defined close as was, could you make it close going into the fourth quarter? Could you be within a possession going into the fourth quarter? And that's exactly what we had. And until, I'd have to look at the official scoring time, but until late in that fourth quarter, they were trading possessions. We saw the lead change happen multiple times where the Elks were holding the lead or the Riders were holding leads, and they were going back and forth until finally the Saskatchewan Roughriders got the go-ahead touchdown, and they didn't look back after that. Picton getting the touchdown on the two-point conversion, and that ended up being the game. But the Edmonton Elks were in this, and we saw a game where they didn't lose 59-15. We saw a game where defensively there still were some missed tackles, but they were also making plays. They were also making their tackles. We saw an offense that was able to move the ball at times. At the beginning of the game, they weren't able to do that, but we saw a team tonight that I think resembles more of what I was expecting from this team this season. They'll be in some games. They'll have chances, and they'll find a way to win a couple of games, but they're also not the best team out there. And if the other team comes, shows up and play, they're probably going to find a way to win that football game. And tonight, the Saskatchewan Roughriders found just those extra plays to win this game and to move to 2-0 while the Elks fall to 0-2. We'll get into the James H. Brown inbox, 10-12-60 texts already coming in. We will get to those later in the show. Jeff and I will have our players of the game, TSN Turning Point, and Jeff will have his least valuable player of the game. But Jeff, bringing you into the show with just your initial thoughts of the game.
Well, they played better, Matt, and, that's all I think we can ask for from them. That's not all you can ask for, but it is what we asked for at the beginning of the game here. They kept it close. Once again, turnovers. I think that's what really killed the Elks in this game, especially that one late in the fourth quarter. You have the ball. You can march it down the field. Yeah, you're down by 7 points at that point in time, but you're still in the game. But then to cough up that fumble there late at the game, Saskatchewan's got the ball deep in Edmonton's territory, and that was pretty much game over there. There are some positives out of that game. I thought defensively they were a lot better this game. You want to do stop the run a little bit more, especially in the first half. They seemed to kind of clean that up in the second half a little bit. Offensively, that's a tough one, right? Because like Arbuckle, he didn't play a bad game, but he didn't really play a good game either. I think things could have been a lot better. I commented on, he had that, 60-yard play to Arsenault down the sideline there. You hit him in stride. That's going back for a touchdown. And I think that that's going to make that fourth quarter a whole lot different. But with most of the passes you see from Arbuckle, they're not actually to the receivers. The receivers did a lot of work to make the passes connect in this game, because it wasn't Arbuckle laying it in there for these guys. It was these guys finding the ball for Arbuckle. And so, like, I'm going to give Arbuckle a pass in this game, but I don't think he's the quarterback of the future here in Edmonton.
I think the best way I could look at Nick Arbuckle, and I guess we'll start with Nick Arbuckle here in the offense, he's just good enough to get you beat is probably the best definition I can give. He's fine. He can make some plays. He can move the ball a bit downfield, but he's also going to make his mistakes. And you make one of those, which is the accuracy's a bit off. We saw him just not hit his guys where you would like to. You mentioned the Manny Arsenault. You could see it a few times with the deep balls. But tonight, I will say he had more zip on his football. His balls downfield, they got to the receiver quicker. They just weren't floating in the air, if you will. They were there with more zip. But you could see the receiver having to slow down to catch that football or readjust their run to make sure they're in a position to catch that ball. You saw that a lot. We saw it last week. We talked about that. The other thing about Nick Arbuckle you and I were commenting on as we're watching the game is it's just not there in the pocket. He doesn't have the mobility. He doesn't have the ability to it's like he's got brick for feet, right? Like he stands there. And I think Ricky Ray was more mobile than him. Like there was times where even you just like start moving or the pocket's going to collapse or something. He just stands in the pocket. He just stands there. And there's also a bit of lack of pocket awareness that when the pocket is collapsing, he still holds on to the football instead of potentially trying to get rid of or something. So when I look at Nick Arbuckle, I see a guy that, yeah, he's going to give the Elks a chance to get to what we thought maybe this year, 4 or 5 wins. But he's not a guy that's going to go do some great things with this team. And I don't see a guy there that's going to be the long-term quarterback of this team.
Well, it's Father's Day, so I'm going to do the quote that I always use for my dad. And that's like, it's like blocking for a post out there. Right, that the guy's got no mobility in the pocket. If you lose your guy, it's pretty much going to be a sack because you know that Arbuckle is not going to be able to get away from that that pressure. And then as soon as that pressure comes, it's like everything else just shuts down for him. Right, he's no longer looking for players up downfield. He's just kind of in panic mode. So like, he's not really running the ball. He's no longer really looking to pass the ball. So really, he's just looking at turf. And I think that that's what we've seen multiple times, not only in this game, but last game as well. So he needs to get out there. And to be honest with you, I don't know if that's something that you can really learn, right? You know, you have to be, you know, that type of player that you can work under pressure. And Arbuckle just doesn't seem to have that. So I think you got to kind of move forward with him a little bit in the season because he is your number one quarterback. Maybe you start passing the ball down to Ford, right? Because like you might as well see what he's got.
Well, I will say with that, like I think you stick with Nick Arbuckle, right? I haven't seen anything that you take him out as your starting quarterback. But do you design packages and design moments in the game where you bring in Trey Ford? They used to do that. You know, Chris Jones did that with Michael Riley, and he would bring in Jordan Lynch. Do you do it a little bit more though? Do you have a few series where you go with Nick Arbuckle, but have it planned that at certain points, if you know, if you're winning, obviously, you know, maybe don't do it as much because you keep something that's rolling. But in games like maybe tonight, you know, you have a planned couple of packages where Trey Ford's going to come in to mix things up and mess with the defense a little bit. And one, it gives you the chance to see what Trey Ford's got. But two, you stick with Nick Arbuckle because, again, a guy, you know, he can move it okay. Like, he's okay. He's not bad. He's not terrible. I've seen a lot of worse quarterbacks go behind center with the Edmonton Elks. But I've also seen a lot of better quarterbacks go behind center with the Edmonton Elks. You know, and I think we somewhat got a tale of both of that. You know, for the first quarter and a half of this game, you know, the Elks offense wasn't doing anything. And we will get to the defense in a bit here. But I have to give a pass to a bit on that defense, especially early, because they were on the field. I remember at one point in the game, I looked at you, and I think it was time of possession when I said it was 16 minutes for the Riders and 4 minutes for the Elks. Like, it took them till partway into the second quarter to get their first down, I think it was.
First completion,
even. And it just, they weren't getting anything done. And after the first half, the stats were very clear. It was over 200 yards in net offense for the Riders and under 100 for the Elks. But then, after the third quarter, it was almost even. The Elks barely gave up any yards to the Riders, and the Elks loaded up with 160-some yards or something on offense in that third quarter, and that's why we had such a close ball game going. Chris Jones moving forward into next week is, why can't you stop the run? And how do you go about fixing that? I don't fully know. You know, is it you guys? Do they have the players? Right now, I don't fully have that answer for you. They didn't have Ceresna tonight because he was injured late, so the replacement, Mirabure, he comes in. He wasn't expecting to be the starter, so maybe an extra week helps him out there. But that is something Chris Jones is going to absolutely have to look at. They can't keep allowing these big run plays into any team that they're going up against.
Well, and you said it spot on there, right? You know, like you're getting nine yards of carry off first down with your running back. You just run that all day long. And you know, maybe that's what we need to look at with this game as well. It's like, it's not... Arbuckle did all right, but Saskatchewan didn't really play a great game either, right? Like, I don't think we saw the best effort out of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And maybe that has kind of made things look a little bit better for the offensive side. And maybe a little bit for the defensive side of the ball as well. Because they just didn't really seem to have it either. Like, they still won 26-16 and they made some good plays out there. But, like, they really let an Elks team that had no real business being in the game after the first quarter stay in the game for a little bit longer than they should have. And so, you know, like, I as much as I want to, you know, praise the Elks and what they did in this game, because it was an improvement over the last game, right? Like, not that that's a hard thing to do, but it was an improvement over that last game. Some of it, I think, is an improvement from the Elks, and some of it is that I just don't think Saskatchewan had the best game. And with that said, that's one of those games that I think you can look back on, not that I think the Elks are going to have that great of a year, but you can look back on later in the season and say, you know what, that game was there for the taking for the Elks. For you know, right up until the end of the game, they kind of let them off the hook there a little bit, because you had a Saskatchewan team that, you know, played good enough to win, but maybe only played good enough to win against a team like the Edmonton Elks.
2:59 left in the fourth quarter. That's when the touchdown was scored. So the Elks were in it right until that three-minute warning. Well, and you could even go a little past that because they did get the ball back. Just quickly, Kenny Lawler, what a touchdown catch that was by him. Just
fantastic. We were sitting there and we're like, there's no way he even caught that, right? Like, I thought he was out of bounds for sure. And
absolutely.
Then they showed that that replay and it's like, wow.
What a catch. What a
unreal.
Catch. Let's get into the inbox 10-12-60. One question I'll throw to the listeners out there as well is, after last week, it wasn't looking good. And our question of the night on the kickoff show is, how many home wins will this team have this year? Where's your confidence level moving forward now with this team that they're going to be able to find a few wins? I think after last week against the Lions, a lot of people are going to sit there and go, I don't think this team's going to win a lot of games. Like, they're going to win anything this year. Where's your confidence level of actually winning some football games? Let's get into the inbox though right now. 10-12-60. Jeff, what's with the horrible defensive back coverages? Riders receivers wide open on consecutive plays. That would be, I'm assuming, speaking of the Picton touchdown, and then he caught the 2-point conversion. On the touchdown, the excuse you would have if you're the Elks, which isn't really an excuse, but they blitzed and they sent a lot of guys. Cody Fajardo got away from it. They never got to him. He spun away and Picton was wide open. When you're going to be blitzing guys, you're going to be leaving somebody open. On the 2-point conversion, I have no idea. I don't know what happened on that one and how he got completely open. Cam texts in, another lost season, no quarterback, and the home losing streak lives on. I feel bad for the new CEO, but I will not pay $50 to watch this football team. No thanks. That coming in from KM. Well, KM, people shouldn't even be paying $50 almost when this is a good team right now. Like, I'm sorry. That, to me, the walk up, I think last year was $60 on day up. Maybe it was $50 still. 50's too much as the lowest ticket price. I understand there's certain ways you can get better, cheaper prices. This week they launched something where on Monday they did the highest or whatever the daytime high on Monday forecast was. That was the ticket for this week. So it was $22 you can got into this one. But the walk-up crowd is what you have to focus. And when you walk up to that gate, if it's $50, you're not getting those people back. So even if this team was a 500 club, that's still a high ticket price for me. But I get it, KM. And look, I'm not going to dispute the no quarterback. The home losing streak lives on, but I do think that they have a chance of that. That's going to end this year. But don't feel bad for Victor Cui. He knows what he's in for, and this isn't going to be turned around right away.
And for the home, I'm going to answer your question here quick too, Matt, about the home win streak or like how many games they can win at home.
Well, no, that's not just how much. Where's your confidence of them winning games this year now, just in general?
Oh, just in general?
Because last week it looked like, okay, is this team going to win football games at all even this year?
I think they're going to be lucky that they play teams in the East this year. I don't know if they're going to get very many points out of the West, but some of those teams in the East have been looking pretty shaky so far. But then again, those teams in the East have also been playing the teams in the West, right? So, and I think that that's going to make a big difference there. So, like, when we started the season, I think I said they were going to get 7 to 8 wins. I think that that's what my prediction was. I'm going to have to scale that back. I think they can get about four or five, but it's going to be in games like they play tonight. But the difference is they have to beat a team when that team is not playing to their best. And then that's why I think they had an opportunity kind of slip away from them tonight, because the Riders were not playing their best football and the Elks had a chance to beat them and didn't get it done.
Where I will say though, what I liked about today moving forward for this team is, we saw improvements from week 1 to week 2. Now, was it the perfect, all everything perfect. No, but we saw improvements. And I think with Chris Jones, that's a good sign for me that we saw from one to the week to the next, we saw those improvements. That's something we didn't see last year. I said last week that that performance was worse than anything I saw in 2021, but we didn't see the improvements week in and week out. We saw the same things happen week in and week out. At the very least, to start this year, we saw improvements from week one to week two. And I would expect we're going to see some sort of improvements from week two to week three. And that's just what you get from Chris Jones. And if you're not going to want to improve, Chris Jones is going to send you home and he's going to bring someone else in eventually. And so that's where I actually, I'm a little more optimistic with what I saw from the team tonight moving forward than what I would have been even to start the year, even before that BC game, because I saw that care from this team overall. Adam texts in, proud of the effort, but this team just does not have the talent on the field. This roster looks worse than last year's team. If the Elks are rebuilding, they should just play Ford all year and learn on the job. The saddest part of tonight, though, was the attendance. Never seen that many empty seats in Edmonton for a home opener. Half the fans were likely Rider fans as well, so not a lot of Elks fans attending this game. That coming in from Adam. The announced attendance was 23,121. I believe the season ticket holder number is 15,000 for the Elks going into this season. 14 or 15,000. So you're only looking at... If it's 15,000, if I give the season ticket holder base the benefit of the doubt there, that's about 8,000 tickets sold for this one. And you know that's a lot for the Riders. I don't have a rationale as to why people didn't show up. One is the forecast wasn't great all week, but it ended up being a beautiful night. But Victor Kui has work to do. He's got to get people out there to the games and turn the feeling around this team. Victor Kui did a lot of great things to change the buzz around this team and how we talked about the team. But now it's a different getting people into the seats. It's also different because you got to start winning football games too, and we'll see how that comes. But not a good start when it comes to attendance for the Edmonton Elks in terms of the number. But we'll see if how that even goes from Victor Kui and this team moving forward. As to the quarterbacking part, I will say, like, I'm sticking with Nick Arbuckle right now still. But I would like to see maybe some packages with Trey Ford or even Kyle Loxley. We saw Kyle Loxley come in as a receiver a few times, which we're seeing the Elks be the team that puts two quarterbacks on the field at once. But maybe you find some packages to get Trey Ford in there just to mix things up and mess with the defense, keep them on their toes or off their toes. Is it off? You keep them off their toes, right? Keep them on their toes. Which one is it now?
Let's go with off their toes.
Keep them off their toes.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look that up. But do that. You also then see what you got in Trey Ford, but you stick right now with Nick Arbuckle, who I don't think has really put himself in a spot through the first 2 weeks to say he absolutely has to be pulled after 2 weeks. When will the Elks ever get a sense of return game? Missed field goal only gaining 11 yards on return is embarrassing. We're mentioning that. Like, at first, I think I started yelling, run it, run it, run it. And then I realized it's a 7-point ball game. You take that single, it's an 8-point ball game. It's still a touchdown. Yes, you got to go for the 2-point conversion, but to get the yards. I feel like that should have been outright told to Martish Jackson. Maybe if it's missed, you got to take the single because you got to get the yards. The one thing I will say in first week, Jalen Marshall, you were a fan of his Jeff. He did some nice things. He was taken out because Martish Jackson was healthy and put back in. He had one decent run, but overall, I wasn't too impressed with Martish Jackson when it came to the running. Not as much. I was more impressed with Jalen Marshall last week than Martish Jackson this week.
I agree with you completely there. He did have that one nice return, but other than that, I don't think he did anything special out there. So we'll see what's decided for next week in that part of the game, because the Elks do need a return game, right? Yeah. Especially this year. That's the other thing I mentioned to you while the game was on. With that new rule of no yards being a 15-yard penalty, you see a lot of teams that are backing up to about 10 yards away from the ball when the ball carrier touches that ball. If you have a good explosive player back there, you can take that 10-yard advantage and you could really make something happen out of it. I just don't think the Elks have that type of player, which is too bad because that's the type of player that this team has needed for, what, 10, 12 years now, right? Like, it's been a long time since they've needed that type of returner. And if there is ever a year that you could really use that, this is the one. So you got to find someone that can, you know, take advantage of that new rule change and make use of that that extra space.
I got early least valuable player candidate from Bruce earlier. We also have a text from Jeff I want to get to. We will get to our least valuable player of the game. Turning point of the game, player of the game, and Jeff has his least valuable player of the game, I should say. That will do next on the Green and Gold post-game show. Elks fall to the Riders 26-16. They are 0-2 on the season. I'm Matt Iwanek. He's Jeff Walker. Keep those texts coming in at 10-12-60. You're tuned in to Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. 11-10, this is the Green and Gold post-game show. Matt Iwanek, Jeff Walker with you here. The Elks fall to the Riders 26-16. We'll get into the inbox right away here at 10-12-60. But quickly, we'll go through the stats of tonight's game. Nick Arbuckle, he was 21 of 35 for 315 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. James Wilder Jr. led the way rushing for the Elks, nine carries for 40 yards. Kenny Lawler, a great performance tonight. Targeted 17 times, he had 12 catches, 149 yards, and a touchdown. Manny Arsenault, 85 yards on three catches, his longest being that 66-yard reception that was just wide open. If anyone is watching the broadcast closely on one of the replays, as he's running down, you can see the two guys of the Elks Communications, Evan Dom and her boy, Hernan Salas. And you could just start seeing Hernan as he goes by, start almost running with Manny Arsenault. It was pretty cool. I texted him about that, but you could slowly kind of see him wanting to run with Manny on that one. Caleb Hawley, two catches, 51 yards. Mike Jones, two catches for 13 yards. The Elks managed sacks tonight. They didn't last week. They got three sacks tonight, leading the way tackles-wise. Defensively, Adam Konar with seven tackles. For the Riders, Cody Fajardo, 20 of 26 for 247 and a touchdown. Morrow, 17 carries, 126 yards and one touchdown. While receiving-wise for them, Shaq Evans led the way, five catches for 81 yards, but Picton, four catches, 56 yards, and caught the lone touchdown for them. Four sacks for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in that one, and leading the way tackles-wise, defensively, Larry Dean with seven tackles. Let's get into the inbox here, 10-12-60, before we get to our turning point of the game, players of the game, and Jeff's least valuable player of the game. Jeff says, 2 points. One, you can't win the game in the first quarter, but you can lose it. Wow, look at the offensive stat sheet. Two, what's with the backwards pass in second and 10 backed up in the Elks zone with the game on the line? Worst play call I've ever seen, NFL or CFL, that coming from Jeff. I don't think that was the play call. I think everything broke down, but I've never seen a quarterback turn around, face his backfield, and throw the ball like normal. Usually it's a pitch or something or a little flick. He actually threw the ball to James Wilder Jr. And Jeff and I both were just like, what's going on there? It was really weird.
There's a penalty on that play,
I think.
I still don't understand what happened on that play. Like, I will never get that one. So, Jeff, thank you for bringing that up here because I wanted to talk about that as well. What was that?
He turned around and threw the football.
Like, that was just one of the firmest passes he threw all night, and it was going 5 yards backwards to a player. I don't even know if the player really expected that pass to come.
I don't know if Wilder was expecting. Well, he wasn't expecting it that way. Like, it's like in basketball, somebody turned around and took a shot on their own net. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
But this was a quarterback turning around and throwing a football into his end zone. Like, it was... It really made no sense.
It's like he ran out of ideas of what to do with the ball, so he decided to try that one.
Thankfully, there's a penalty. The Riders, they were bad with penalties tonight. They took a lot of them. 14 penalties for 134 yards. The Elks better. They took eight penalties, so you got to watch that, but only 55 yards. Better than 130-some yards they gave up on penalties last week. Blair says, just got to Century Park, so not sure what the conversation has been. Why is Arbuckle a thing? He's not good. Cornelius was 1,000% better last year. That's how bad Arbuckle is. Blair, for me, as I was saying in the last one, I don't think Arbuckle has been terrible. He's had his moments where it's not good, but he hasn't been great either. I think he's a fine quarterback. He's okay. Interceptions, bad. You know, that fumble, bad. Pocket presence, not exactly there. It was a better performance this week than last week. I think the one thing I see from Nick Arbuckle is I think he moves the ball and sustain drives a bit more. Take away the first quarter, I think the Elks moved the ball decently after that. Now, they weren't getting their touchdowns, they weren't scoring their points, but I think they moved it a bit and, you know, managed to, you know, at one point, as I mentioned earlier in that last segment, it was 16-4 in time of possession. It was like a 12-minute difference. The game ends at a 34-40 to 25-20, so almost a 10-minute difference. So they managed to tighten that up a little bit. I know the Elks coaching staff, they're not big on Taylor Cornelius. They're not fans of his. That's why he's not even dressing up as a backup. Cornelius had a good zip to his ball, but he threw it as hard no matter, like as bad as Nick, like Nick Arbuckle struggles with the deep ball. Taylor Cornelius struggled with the close throw, the short throw, I felt. I'm not ready to go that Nick Arbuckle is terrible. He's not a guy that's going to win you Grey Cups. He's not a guy that's going to win games for you in the playoffs. I'll admit that, but that's not where we are at yet with the Edmonton Elks. I think for now with where this team is, when they don't have, I don't think he's, I know what I've saw from Taylor Cornelius. I don't think he's the answer. I'd rather then just go with Nick Arbuckle right now until we see maybe a little bit more, find ways to get more of Trey Ford or Kyle Loxley. But I don't think he's been terrible. Texter says Arbuckle was awful in the red zone. Yeah, no, I'll give you that. But here's the one thing I will say. The Elks team, for many years, how many times have we talked about the Elks being awful in the red zone? Trevor Harris, we had issues with him when they were in the red zone in his first year in 2019. There were some issues with Michael Riley back in the day with the red zone. That's happened a lot with this team. That's just like we're talking about kick returns and punt returns. That's something we could say a lot with this team just in general. Now it's only week two as well, and you'd like to see some improvements. I would like to think we saw improvements from this team this week that I'm not ready yet to make some major changes, which includes completely changing the quarterback. They stuck with him all game. That's, I think, speaks volumes to where his performance was, unlike last week where they brought in Trey Ford. Offensive coordinator, an awful night. Multiple times Arbuckle was in shotgun at third and short, and that's exactly what you've talked about tonight already too, Jeff. That you like some of this was on, look, Steve McAdoo, I'm not the biggest fan of, and some of it does come to what he's done. So it's a mix of a lot of things. I'm not ready yet, though, to say, you know, Nick Arbuckle, pull him and go with Taylor Cornelius or something like that. I'd rather still stick with Nick Arbuckle for now. But like I said, and Blair, you wouldn't have heard this part, but like I said in the first time, I would like to see some packages with Trey Ford, though. I'd like to see him come into games for moments and see what he can do. Maybe, you know, take over us. Maybe it's a full drive. Maybe it's just a couple of plays in a row. And bring in some packages and see what he can do.
Well, and I still think that we all need to really look at the big picture in this game. Like, yeah, they lost the game. I do think that this is a game that they could have won. There was some errors that happened in the game that I really think worked against the Elks in this one. But it was an improvement from the last game. And I think that that's what we all need to take going forward here is that it wasn't a debacle. And I don't know about you, Matt, before the game started today, I was kind of worried that this is going to be one of those games where they were just going to get blown out, that it was going to be like a 40-14 game or something like that, that Saskatchewan was just going to walk in here and have their way with the Elks. That didn't happen tonight. So whether or not that is Saskatchewan didn't play very well, the Elks played really well, whatever the magical formula was tonight, the Elks were in this game right to the end. And I think you got to take that as a positive. We didn't expect this team to go the entire season and be in contention for anything. I don't think anybody really expected that, right? So the fact that they're improving, I think, is something big. And I think that that's what we should be taking out of this game, is that it was better. And we don't have to be embarrassed as a fan base because of this one.
I got times wrong. I had said 2:59 was that touchdown for Pickton. It was actually 4:42. That was the time of their drive. So 4:42. So with 5 minutes left in the game, the Edmonton Elks were leading. Hey, I'll take that for this season with where this team is at right now and what we saw last week. You know, so take the victories while you can. Moving forward, let's start with our players of the game. Jeff, I will start with you. Your player of the game from tonight.
You know, that's kind of a tough one, but I'm going to go with the money man, and I'm going to say Lawler. You know what? I thought he played a really good game. I love that catch that he made in the end zone. It was a fantastic catch. He was steady all game long. When the passes were coming to him, he was making the grabs. He was putting up the yards. So maybe that's kind of an obvious one tonight, but I'm going to go with Lawler.
Okay, but I'm going to go back to just making sure that you could pick from anybody.
Okay.
From both teams. You're still sticking with Kenny Lawler? Okay, I'm going to go with Jamal Morrow, running back for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. 17 carries, 126 yards and a touchdown. Caught the ball four times for 28 yards. His yards per carry, 7.4. If they ran the ball with him all game, they were getting first downs every two carries, basically, right? Like, it's... eventually. Yeah, that's how it fully would work. But that's... He was the Elks had a lot of struggle stopping him, especially early in that game, especially that first half. So, to me, Jamal Morrow was easily the player of the game. TSN Turning Point. It's that I'm going to go with the touchdown for the Saskatchewan Roughriders in the blitz. You know, they finally bring pressure. We didn't see it all game. They bring pressure. And what happens on that play? Cody Fajardo doesn't even get touched. He spins away, gets by it, and sees Picton wide open in the end zone. Makes it a full-on touchdown to tie that football game. And the Elks just can't find it from there. We see moments, you know, we see the fumble a little bit later. They get the ball a couple of times. But in the end, it was a one-point game. And they were doing a really good job, the Elks, throughout that game of just keeping the Riders to field goals for the most part. And on that blitz right there, a 28-yard touchdown pass. It was 2nd and 5. You know, could have kept it a field goal where it would have been a two-point game, would have been maybe a little bit different because you're only down 2. That's, to me, the turning point. You have one?
For me, and this one's going to seem kind of weird, but it's that Manny Arsenault play. And because, like, I think
what's
if you...
a turning point?
Because if you hit him in stride and he puts that in for a touchdown, he's gone. He's wide open. And if he runs that in for a touchdown, then you know what? It's a completely different game. But because he underthrew him, Arsenault had to stop. The defenders caught up to him. They ended up kicking a field goal. And for me, I think that that's kind of the turning point there, because you had a chance to go up and not just go up a little bit on this team, but put them in a position where they were going to have to go out and score a touchdown. Like, they did score a touchdown, but, you know, it would have been more pressure on Saskatchewan at that point in time. So that's what I'm going to say is the turning point for me. It's just, if you would have put that ball a little bit further out and he could have ran into that one and put it in the end zone, it's a completely different ball game coming to the end.
Well, yeah, just speaking on that, it's, he gets pushed out at the Saskatchewan 13. You look at the next two plays, they both were sacks. And they end up kicking a field goal there.
Yeah.
But instead, you could have been up. It was 12-10 at the time. So you're looking 17-12. You probably would have tried for the 2 points, actually. So you'd have been up either 16-12 or 18-12 at that point. And it would have been a little bit different. Bruce had a least valuable player of the game. Before I get to that, he also says with Nick Arbuckle, he's not great, but he's not terrible either. Saw several nice touch passes from him, but Bruce's least valuable player, Canada, he says, whoever the hell went offside on that pump play early on in the game, you got a couple of hours to track down the name. That coming in from Bruce, he texted it at that time. It was 3rd and 4. The Elks took an offside. I think there was a few players that could have been called. Officially, Tanner Green was given the penalty on that play. Jeff, least valuable player of the game.
Maddie, I'm going to steal this one from you. You mentioned him earlier. I'm going to say Caleb Hawley, and I'm going to say Caleb Hawley because, you know, he missed 2 wide open catches in the first quarter. And if you make those ones, your offense gets a little bit of confidence going ahead in the game. They didn't actually make a completion until the second quarter, which is kind of sad. And he was targeted a couple of times in the first, didn't make the grabs. And once again, it's another one of those ones where you let something positive slip away, and maybe that positivity that you could have had there, you know, would have been a recipe for success. But since you missed those passes and, you know what? Nothing happened in the first quarter. Basically, the first quarter was a write-off, and maybe it didn't have to be.
Well, and for Caleb Hawley, he gets cut this week after last week. Terrell Walker goes down with injury. He lands in Las Vegas, gets the call. You need to come back up. He comes back up. You get a second chance with this team. And the first two balls you face, you drop. Now, that first pass, a little bit maybe to the outside, you know, a little bit off. He had a stretch for it, but it is his hands. And you made up a good point when we were watching that. It might have been the only spot Nick Arbuckle could have thrown it in where there was no defenders, and the defender couldn't get involved with the play. Hit your hands. That play, it was... the Elks were sitting at their own 39. It was 2nd and 11. Where he was Saskatchewan 50. So not only did you get that first down of the game, you're into the opposite side of the field, right? And then the other one, it was 1st and 20. They had just gotten the penalty, an illegal block. 1st and 20. You could have gained a few yards back. He drops it. Now it's also 2nd and 20. And so your first two plays that you have with this team that just released you, that brought you back, were 2 drops, and you can't do that. So I'm completely good with that least valuable player of the game.
That's good, because you suggested them.
Well, there's a few, like...
There's a couple. There's
Kelly
a couple guys out there,
for
yeah.
Penalties. I don't really... You know, Derek Moncrief got kicked out, although I don't know why. The other one, the refs did miss quite a few calls on both sides today.
Oh, agreed.
I still don't know what Derek Moncrief did to get the second objectional or the unsportsmanlike or whatever the official ruling is on that. I don't know what he did to get two on that play. TSN never fully showed it. There was also the face mask that was called, which I do get in the time why it was called. So maybe, but like Glenn Suter on the broadcast was not happy with the officials tonight for some of those calls. Like they at one point even said there was about five or six calls that they've missed. And to largely, most of them were missed or they were just poor calls. The flag came out when they shouldn't have. Let's get to a few more texts here. Andrew the mailman. Piss poor team effort. Special teams definitely need some work. I know it's cheaper than an Oilers ticket, but a 60,000 person stadium, all upper bowl tickets, $30. Andrew the mailman, you're preaching to the choir on that one. No, Matt, you don't put Trey Ford in for a couple series unless you're getting blown on the game. It's too fast for him now. But that's where, but you're not winning games, right? Like you're not, well, I shouldn't say you're not, you're not going out to, your plan's not fully to go win the Grey Cup this year or something like that. Where I say you throw him in, you don't put it all on him, but you get him exposed to it. And you get to see how does he react to it. How does he grow from it from game in and game out? That's where I would be okay with it a little bit. Because then you go back still to Nick Arbuckle if he's your guy. I'll give you guys Arbuckle and the team played a whole lot better. Not going to win many games with the INTs he throws, though. Bad decisions. Nothing the Riders or Lions did. Tony St. Albert just got back from the game as a season ticket holder. All I care about is we put up a decent effort, and they did that. We weren't embarrassed like last week or most games last season, but like you guys said, we need a quarterback. Arbuckle made some good plays and a few real stinkers like throwing the ball to no one when we were second and short. And I think that's it's weird doing that, having that with a team, saying, hey, it's about putting in those efforts. But I said it before last week's game. That's what I want to see week in and week out is, one, I want to see the effort, but two, I want to see improvement from the prior week. And today I saw an improvement against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders than what they did against the BC Lions last week. And now the bar was set really low for that one, but they cleared it. Now they're going to take on the Calgary Stampeders next week. We'll see if we could see some more improvement. And that's the growth. It's for Victor Queen, the seats, and with growing this team around the city with Chris Jones and building the team itself, it's going to be baby steps. It's going to be baby steps. And they took that step this time. And that's what I wanted to see. Keep those texts coming in, 10, 12, 60. He's Jeff Walker. I'm Matt Iwanek. You're tuned into the Green and Gold post-game show. When we come back, we'll wrap up tonight's edition of the show. That's all to come here on Edmonton Sports Theater, TSN 1260. This is the Green and Gold post-game show, our final segment for tonight. Matt Iwanek, Jeff Walker with you here on TSN at 1260. Edmonton Elks fall 26-16 to the Saskatchewan Roughriders down at Commonwealth Stadium in front of a crowd of just over 23,000. And on the road for 2 weeks. And they're back on July 7th, if I'm not mistaken, in Calgary next Saturday. Your thoughts still welcome, 10-12-60. Should also say our phone number just in case you forgot, 780-444-1260. Toll free, 1-800-243-1945. I don't think there's much else we're missing when it comes to this game. I think to sum it up best, it does come down to we saw improvements. We saw this team play better, but there's still work to be done. And offensively, Nick Arbuckle still just doesn't seem like a guy that's going to be a Grey Cup winner. He's not the guy that eventually when this team becomes champs, he's the quarterback leading them that way. But for now, at this moment in time, maybe he's a fine stopgap. Defensively, still need to work a little bit on those tackles. The front seven really needs to work on stopping the run, but overall played a bit better, got their stops. We saw a different game plan from Chris Jones where we saw him really just try to send three guys and it seemed to work mostly. Special teams, yeah, it's the Elks special teams. I don't think much more needs to be said. I think the next time we talk about special teams, we might as well just do it when they start having success because it's what's the point? It's been 12, 13, 14, 15 years talking about the exact same thing when it comes to the special teams. But yeah, it's Kenny Lawler. It's because of where the Elks are. We're not getting to focus on some things. And one maybe to hear quickly is Kenny Lawler's come as advertised, hasn't he? The guy can make plays. You put the ball near Kenny Lawler, he's going to find a way to make a catch. Like, he's the highest paid wide receiver in the CFL. He deserves to be the highest paid receiver in the CFL. When you have quarterbacks who aren't the best right now, you're trying to figure out that position, give him the best weapon. That's probably one of the best ways you can help him out, is a guy that if you put the ball near him, he's going to try to find a way and likely find a way to make that catch.
And he's intense. Like, seeing him on the sidelines, like, sometimes I don't even know what he's angry about over there, but he looks like he's angry. And he just pulls that out onto the field and makes plays. It's amazing to see.
I'm just scared that he's going to wow.
Well, let's not.
Like, that's when last week we saw him getting angry. I was like, what? Are you already upset that you're not in Winnipeg? And like, are you going to ask for out or a trade or a release or something like that? I don't want to get to that point. But if it's just anger and that passion, you want that from someone
you
on
sure
the team,
do.
Especially to fire up the team so that when they're losing, they're not just comfortable losing.
Him and Hernan can be there together.
Latino Heat and Kenny Lawler, we'll have to find a nickname for him. They'll be the two guys that are just firing up this team whenever their things aren't going well. I love it. I can't wait. Any final thought there, Jeff?
You know, Manny, my final thought is that they improved over the first week of the season. And I think going into this game, that's the only thing that I could really have asked for. Well, you would have wanted to ask them for a win. But hey, you know what? Improving is just as good for this team, just getting started this year.
And that will wrap up week two of the Canadian Football League. As I said, the Edmonton Elks, they're in Calgary next Saturday. A Battle of Alberta. I think we get four Battle of Albertas this year. Well, we do. Next Saturday, July 7th, and then Labor Day set. Starts 5 o'clock, which means Jeff and I are in the air at 4 o'clock right here on TSN 1260 with the Green and Gold Kickoff Show. Elks dropped their second game in their home opener, 26-16, to the Riders tonight. Coming up tomorrow on the station, we do got Jays-Yankees, third game of that series. The golf show, the VIP golf show with Murray McCourt, Curtis Stock. That gets going at 8:30 right here on TSN at 1260. And starting with the Nielsen Show on Monday, we'll have you covered with the Edmonton Elks once again all week. And we'll have a lot of sports for you. On behalf of Jeff Walker, I'm Adam Wanick. Thanks for tuning in to the Green and Gold Kickoff and post-game shows tonight. Enjoy your Sunday. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I'll chat with you Monday on Low Tide and Jameson.